Good morning, everybody. We've got a little bit of church business we want to take care of just before the communion. Sorry to kind of break up the service a little bit different, but at this time I'd like for Chip and Megan both to step up here, if you would, please, and all the elders join me. For those of y'all that may not know what this is, it's sort of a tradition in the South that sometime through September or October, we have Pastor Appreciation Day. And we didn't want Chip to think that we have forgotten him. We haven't. We kind of put it off a little bit to the later part, just because here in about a week and a half, he will be here for his one-year anniversary. So we think that he's done a fantastic job, along with his support help over here, Miss Megan. And what we would like to do here today, if y'all can hear me, is we've made a little bit of a certificate here to show that we appreciate the job that he has done as our pastor. He goes above and beyond the call of duty. Not only has he been a great Christian, he's been a great example to everybody that he lives the Christian life. He goes beyond visiting people, seeing after the sick, and those in need, and we just want to show him that, you know, we do have a love for him, and that we appreciate him more deeply than he could ever imagine. And also, at this time, he had a little thing on his bucket list that he mentioned in the elders' meeting, that he's wanting to go to Universal Studios one of these times. So, as a down payment in that, at this time, we want to present a little cash gift to him and Megan as well. Okay? Thank you, guys. Any of the other elders want to say anything? Appreciate it very much, y'all. Thank you.
But not with the microphone. Megan actually came into our sewing room, and she has actually seen a piece of what we're about to give them. And she really liked it. So we're hoping that this keeps you warm and cuddly this winter. And we're so glad to have you both here. We love you. The right way, yeah. Bible verses.
Wow.
At this time, we want to go ahead and dismiss our elementary children to Kids Zone with Miss Denise today, and we're going to dismiss our teen kids, middle school age, to Teen Zone with Miss Lynn. And do let me take a moment and just thank you guys so much. Megan and I are absolutely grateful and blessed to be a part of Lexington Christian Church and to be a part of a church that is seeking Christ and wants to live for Christ and wants to do everything they can to be a beacon for Him and just represent Him in every way. And we're the ones that are honored. It's our honor just to be a part of you guys. So thank you so much for everything that you do for Jesus Christ here in this community. We are at the halfway point of an important four-week series called Supernatural. We're fighting the real enemy. And I don't know about you, but this series really is stretching me on my dependence on God. And I've shared this before on many occasions as this series has gone on. It's amazing to me how, and not necessarily completely all bad, but distractions that take place when I've been trying to prepare these messages. And I know that it's a spiritual attack from Satan. I know that he's trying to find ways in which we don't get the word out about him. He wants to be hidden in some ways. He doesn't want people to know what he's all about. And if we do know him, he wants to be looked at in a way where he's misunderstood, that he should get a fair shake with everything that's going on. But as we've learned in Scripture, that he is indeed out to do so many things to keep us away from God. So if you haven't been with us the last couple of weeks, let me recap for you a couple of things that we've gotten from the series. The first week we did talk about our enemy, learning about our enemies, not just the devil, Satan, but also the sinful nature that is in us is also an enemy that we wrestle with. In that first week, we also learned that the important truth that Jesus is more for us than our enemies are against us. So I hope you'll continue to cling on to that truth there. So week two, we went more into what is Satan's goals? What is he really about? And we found out very quickly that he wants to make sure to draw us away from God. He wants to plant doubt in any believer to doubt their faith and even possibly their salvation. And all of this so that he, knowing his fate, knowing he is a defeated foe, he's trying to gather as many of God's children with him, and they join him in basically at the end of time where he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. He wants as many of God's children to join him, and that is where it is our job as believers in Jesus Christ to get the message out that God is who he is and that there is life and salvation in the name of his son Jesus. Today, we are going to take time in our sermon today. The title of the sermon today is called Understanding the Sinful Nature. And why is that important? Because, yes, we understand who Satan is. We understand now that what he is all about. But there is a part of us that when we came into this world, we unfortunately inherited something that we're going to discuss a little bit more today. And that is this thing called the sinful nature. And so, as we get ready to continue, let's pray for spiritual wisdom this morning. Let's pray for understanding as we go forward in today's message. So will you join me in prayer at this time? Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. No matter what brought us here, Father, today, I pray that we know it's for a reason. We know that all of us that are here today, this is something we're all wrestling with. This part of us that seems to, we want to do the right thing, God, but we always seem to do the opposite. And Father, we're going to learn about that today. We're going to understand its origin. We're going to understand what to look for. And Father, I pray that you would just allow our hearts and our minds to be protected from the evil one at this time. Father, I ask that you would just put a hedge of protection over us, Father, in our minds and our hearts so that we can glean what we need to glean from this message today, all of us, including myself, God. So I pray, God, that you just be with us at this time in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As Halloween approaches, one of the most popular aspects of Halloween is obviously the opportunity for some of us, I say that intentionally, some of us like to dress up in costumes. Now, let's admit, who likes dressing up in costumes? Cool. I'm halfway. I used to be, as a kid, I used to dress up in all sorts of things. In fact, my parents, I think it was like a universal thing for me for whatever reason, but they always dressed me up as He-Man. Almost every year, I've got pictures of this. When I was a kid, they just had He-Man ingrained into me. If you don't know who He-Man is, I'm sorry for those of you, the younger millennials, okay? But I will say that there's something about putting on a costume that brings out something else in us, doesn't it? And parents immediately teach this to their kids pretty quickly. So, for instance, you see a lot of costumes here shortly that center around Disney characters. Okay, and there's a few of them here on the screen. Some of the most popular right now are The Incredibles, Cinderella, still popular. I like that Olaf costume. That's pretty good right there. And I can, for whatever reason, I can see Megan in the Ariel costume if she gets it for some reason. I'm not sure why. But the Disney themes, you know, are always there. But also most guys and most boys and some girls like the DC and Marvel costumes that are out and about. So go ahead and put that one up for us, Osway. As you see, there's Batman. I love Spider-Man. He's a really awesome guy. We have Wonder Woman, Superman. There's even Robin up there. Lots of different ones. And there's even more now that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has put out all these different costumes. So lots of different things that you can think about there. Then there's the one, some costumes that are like the new style costumes that come out from blockbuster movies, okay? And the one that you see right there that looks like a T-Rex, that's a full suit costume. Okay, there's somebody in there, and it's from the Velociraptor from Jurassic World. And I can only imagine how much money's being made on that particular costume. So don't be surprised if you come to our fall festival, there could be someone in this costume, okay? It's that popular, and I think there's even a kid size for it, okay? So you just never know. And then, of course, there's the staples of costumes, in particular, like dressing up as a pirate or a cowboy or even a little pumpkin costume or a ladybug. Even Megan will admit this, that she had a ladybug costume one time. Oh, how about that? There's all sorts of fun little things, and then there's cowboys and Indians, there's sheriffs, all the different little costumes that come out. But as we get older, the costumes seem to get a little darker, don't they? There's something about us that wants to entertain this a little bit. This is the side of Halloween that many equate it to. And it's somehow across where we embracing a little bit of a darker side when we do this. That's within ourselves. And so I'm going to throw a few of these out here too. So whether it's, you know, if it's make-believe or anything like that, there's the fantasy costumes of werewolves and zombies and vampires. There's also the made-up serial killers, like Jason and Freddy. And he even got his own movie this October again. Halloween. How many Halloween movies are they going to make? Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. But there's also those costumes that deal more of the paranormal, like witches and fortune tellers and ghosts and demons. And many of these express a side, allows people to express a side that we would say that we kind of keep in. And we don't want other people to really necessarily know about it. But do we? The reason I ask this question, you see, is I kind of, not all the way, but I kind of equate a costume that has a darker theme to how the sinful nature is. There's an aspect of it, there's a part of us that has this darker side, this side that wants to be against the grain, a side that similarly just wants to go past all the rules and regulations and all the things that we feel like are way in the sand and we want to be free of them. It's a side that is manipulative to others so that we can get our own satisfaction to our desires. You know, recently I actually just had a conversation with our teenagers in Teen Zone about, and the category that was brought up, we had a list of different categories, and the category that was brought up was a spiritual tug of war. And it sometimes feels like we're the rope, and you got God and you got Satan pulling back and forth in order to get control of us. Now, God's doing it because he understands Satan's motives. But it does feel like that sometimes, that spiritual tug of war of right and wrong of what's going on in our lives. So, like, for instance, if an average person that doesn't invest in their spiritual lives like they should, they base right and wrong on many different things. So they'll base it on the Constitution or the law of the land. Or by the county or by the state. They'll have laws. They don't feel like maybe they agree with the law. And they feel like the law should apply to us, or even claim the law is wrong, or we're going to rewrite the law by our own actions. We just take matters into our own hands, our own justice, our own choice or decision. So you see why sometimes people are stressed out, or they're worried, or they're annoyed, or they're miffed, or they're angry. Because they want things done this particular way, despite the fact that other things might be in place to make sure to keep you either safe or to make sure there's order. You know, to be honest, I can probably sum up all of this into one phrase. And it's simply this, that the human condition just has a problem with authority. I think we can kind of agree on that sometimes, that the human condition has a problem with authority because we don't like being told what to do all the time by anyone. There's times that we have to submit to those in authority, like a job, if we're working a job, or if you've been if you have any military experience, you had to submit to the superior officers, those in seniority. But at the same time, I don't want somebody telling me what to eat. I don't want anybody telling me when to bathe, or what to watch on TV or movies or digital download. No one wants others to push their ideals or agenda on us. We want to make our own decisions. We want on our own schedule. We want our own choices. We want our rules, our laws. And by golly, if no one else likes it, well, tough. You ever felt that way before? Well, can I tell you something? This is going to be a hard one. And even for me, this is going to be a hard one. That's the language of the sinful nature. When it's all about us. When it's all about making sure that we're satisfied, we're happy, and we want everything to go our way. And if we're not careful, you'll understand where the motivation from it comes from. It comes from a nature within us to say, I don't need help. I don't need anyone. I can figure this out. And that's where the enemy, Satan, comes, and he feeds that kind of thinking, that line of thought, into our hearts and our minds to feed that sinful nature and let us live through that. Today, we're going to learn more about this enemy, the sinful nature that fights against us, not just the authority of the law or the government, but the very person and nature of God and His Son Jesus. We've been using Ephesians 6:12 lately as a theme verse for this whole series because it helps us understand where the true enemy comes from. So I want to remind us of that right now. Listen to these words from Paul. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And when that battle is constant on a spiritual plane, it has a connection to our inner spirit. A spirit that God had in a hand in creating, and a spirit that longs to be with its maker. But on the other hand, we are born with the capability of being rebellious and sinful against the ways of God. In fact, Jesus said it best. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying to his Father. He knew the time was to come where he was going to be betrayed. And we talked about that last week as well. And I want you to listen to the words that Jesus said at this point, picking up in the story, in Matthew 26, verses 40 through 41. It says, "And he came to the disciples," because he had brought a whole group of them together, about three guys, his three trusted disciples. "He came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" How did this all happen? What brought about this sinful nature? Why is our flesh so weak to the things of God? Well, it's time to dive into the origin story of the sinful nature. Just like we dived into the origin story of Satan a few weeks ago. And through this, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. Okay? And to get the full understanding of how this all came to be. And each verse in this chapter, okay, is an important from the first verse to the last. So we're going to read the entire chapter this morning. Okay? because it spells out the origin story of this so clearly. And so right now, what I want you to do is put on your imaginary seatbelts, buckle up, get ready, because now we're going to dive into this whole origin story of how this part of us that's in us came to be. Follow along in your Bibles, follow along on the screen if you'd like. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Well, but the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He, being God, said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So that's the origin story of how the sinful nature was born. When Eve was deceived, but then it also says her husband was there. We don't know if the conversation was private, if it was out loud, but all we know is that she was deceived. Now, most of us in church like to blame the woman, but that's not true. She was deceived. So was Adam. But they both fell into it, and I'll talk about that in just a second. So that's the understanding of the sinful nature. Now, let's look at some things that we can bring out of this story and help us understand the sinful nature a little more. The Word of God is going to be our guide for this, okay? So we're going to entitle this part of the section here, The Sinful Nature Checklist. And unfortunately, there is a lot that goes into that. Go ahead and put that next slide up there, this way. The Sinful Nature Checklist. Okay? Oh, I'm sorry. I've gotten too far. My bad. So I remind us again, and you were right, Ms. Wade. Go back to the next one. I'm sorry. It's true that Satan may deceive, but we gave into it. We gave into the deceit. And there's that expression that goes, the devil made me do it. We talked about it a little bit that last week. But it's this understanding that Satan, yes, he is the epitome of being the opposite of God, and he wants to drive a wedge between us and God. And he started doing that, though, in the very beginning, but he was very crafty about it. He entices the woman, later named Eve, not into just eating the fruit, but what the benefits would be. See, here's the thing. Here's what Eve got deceived by. It wasn't just the fruit that enticed her, okay? It was what she thought was the benefits of the fruit. Because who would not want to be like God? Who would not like to want to know what he knows? And the serpent says, well, he knows good and evil. You should know that too. But instead of Eve going to the source, being God himself, and that he can make this happen for them, she thought that this fruit would be, that be something creative, something that was would just be there to, that's the choice. That's what it's going to be. That's how I'm going to know right from wrong. So instead of talking to God, she trusted in something that was created, but was told was off limits. Now, a lot of people like to theorize and think this was a test by God to see if they would follow through on this. But no, I think this was just honestly her being deceived and Satan beginning the process of deceiving mankind. And unfortunately, Satan succeeded. He got Eve to eat the fruit. And that's how it kind of works now for us. Instead of going to God, we like to think of how we can do it ourselves. You know, ingrained in us is this struggle. When we're presented a guideline, a rule, a restriction, will we realize that it's for our best interest, or will we believe that we should have control and do what we think we deserve? Listen to the words of Paul in Romans 5, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses,
even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Now, we'll go into that sinful nature checklist to help us understand what to look for. What are the things that might be keeping us from a closer relationship with God? Now, here's what I want to encourage you to do. In your bulletins, you have sections here for sermon notes. I encourage you to write these references down. What I mean by, so for instance, like Romans 5, verses 12 through 14 is a reference. The next several scriptures we're going to use are going to be good references for understanding the sinful nature itself. So let's dive right on in. Paul says in Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." So there's a few list things right there. Even Jesus made mention of this. A couple of references in Matthew. The first being Matthew 12, verses 33 through 37. Listen to the words of Jesus here. Either make a tree good or it's in its fruit good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees here, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Then Jesus makes another reference in another circumstance in Matthew 15. Listen to these words that he says. "And he called the people to him, and he said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person.'" This sinful nature also tries to take advantage of God's good law as well. Listen to the words of Paul in Romans 7, verses 7 through 12. "What shall we say? That this law is sin? No, by no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good." And then finally, there's another list called the acts of the sinful nature that are mentioned in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Yes, this is the third time I have referenced the scripture in this series. But I can't stress enough how important it is to understand what this is saying, that how easily these things can creep into our lives and knock us down from our pursuit of Jesus. So let's once again refresh ourselves on how these can keep drawing us back into living in sin if not kept in check with the Spirit of Jesus. Now, as a bonus, I'm going to add the first three verses ahead of this to give us some context. So here's Galatians 5. We're going to add 16 and 17 and 18 into this. And then we'll end in 21. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, which we learned last week means hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me be clear on something. Sharing all this is not intended to scare you, nor is it intended to solicit guilt in you, unless you know that you are living in one or a few of these areas. Okay? It's not meant to embarrass you, and it's not meant to be the one pointing a finger. Okay? It is solely to inform you and to make you aware that these things could be keeping you from the kind of relationship that you desire with God and that He desires of you. Now, it's a fact, and there's truth behind this, that by yourself, you don't have the power to fight this on your own. Okay? If you're going to try to do this on your own, you're going to be rebellious. You're going to want to say, Chip, you know what? I don't need God's help. I can keep this under control. I can keep these urges. I can keep this darkness down. Okay? I can do it on my own. And I am afraid that you have bought into the lie from Satan that says that. He wants you to do it on your own. He does not want you to rely on God. He does not want you to rely on Jesus. He certainly does not want you to rely on the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you this. If you surrender this battle to the Lord, He will fight with you to make and mold you into the person that He knows you can be. So I want to encourage you with three things, okay? Here's how this can take place. If you just surrender, there's three things you need to do. Number one, change the direction you're walking. Okay, change the direction you're walking. We just read that we need to walk by the Spirit. To walk in this life being led by God's power, by God's strength, by God's will, by the power of His commands. When we keep walking the path of complacency, we keep walking the path of rebellion, we selfishly isolate ourselves from the one that can provide us the way to not be chained by the sinful nature. He can free us of that bondage. But not only do we need to walk in a different direction, we need to change the way we think. Okay, we need to change the way we think. And why is that important? I'll tell you why. Romans 12:2 tells us this: do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you can discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In another letter that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." What those verses are talking about leads to a person a few years ago. There was an author that wrote a book. The author's name was James Allen. Now, that's a common name in so many respects. But maybe you've heard the title of a book that he once wrote. This was back in the 1920s, 1930s, of a book called As a Man Thinketh. I don't know if you've ever heard of this book before, but it's a really unique book. And it's gone through many revisions over the years. My sister actually gave me one of the original versions that he had from back in 1920. And it was a very unique read. But it's called As a Man Thinketh. And the idea behind it was that our lives are shaped by the thoughts that we allow into our minds. Because those thoughts begin to shape our opinions, and those opinions begin to shape who we're going to be. It starts at a very early age in so many respects. Kids hang on to different things. But it's actually also a proverb of Solomon. Solomon actually was the first to write this before James Allen made it into a book. Proverbs 23:7. Listen to the words. This is the New King James Version of this. I want you to hear this. "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." And in other words, what we allow into our minds, what we entertain and allow to shape our very thinking, will lead to the other areas following in step. That's where Jesus even talks about. That's where you hear when Jesus said, "What comes out of the mouth comes from the heart." Even Jeremiah, there's a scripture that talks about how the heart can be deceitful. Because there's so many different things that's weighing against it. And a lot of times in translation, you hear the word heart, and it says somebody's thinking with their heart. It's tied to the mind. So the heart and mind sometimes are connected in that way. But Jesus even echoes this very thought of, as a man thinketh, so is he. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We equate that with the treasures in heaven versus the treasures on earth, but the truth of the matter is, whatever, where your treasure is, what you desire in life the most, whatever is going to be at your utmost, and it can be many things, it doesn't have just to be one thing, but where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you have to wrestle with what and who do you want to be thinking about. What do you want? Because there's going to be a lot of thoughts and a lot of opinions that we all have to filter through in our lives. And what needs to be, how do we discern all these different philosophies and all these different words and all these different phrases and all these different thoughts that people have? How do we discern all this, Chip? Well, you've got to discover for yourself what your foundation is going to be when it comes to discerning who's right and who's wrong. And it's not going to be easy. I'm sorry to tell you that. But what I can tell you is that if you surrender the battle to the Lord, you change the direction you're walking, you walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, you change the way you think, that you're not going to be conforming to what the world says is right and wrong. You're going to allow your mind to be transformed by the renewal that comes from God. Then you're going to be able to attain this final point. It'll make it attainable. And that is how we change the way we live. Next week, we're going to look more into this. As we wrap up this series next week, we are going to look at what we can arm ourselves with. How can we actually stand up against Satan and the sinful nature so that we don't keep falling into the same patterns of bad habits and bad choices and bad decisions. We're going to help you discover the tools that are necessary and perhaps even the body armor, the spiritual body armor that we can put on. But I'm going to go ahead and give you one of those right now. We'll dive into this a little more next week, so I hope you will come next week to discover all of this. But here is the one thing that you need to do. Simple. And it really does start with this. Choice. Choice. A choice to follow God. A choice to accept Him and His Son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. A choice to lay down this life of sinful nature living and substitute it with a Holy Spirit-filled living under the banner of Christ. A choice. You have to have your sins washed away. And our consciences cleaned, confessing Him as Lord by doing that, by believing that He is a resurrected Lord, and being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, you begin making the choice to learn and discover through the words of God how to walk in the Spirit. How to think like God thinks and live like Jesus. Being the very hands and feet and sharing your change with someone else that you believe can change as well. All starts by being informed. We know our enemy now. We know who Satan is. We know what his goals are. We now understand, hopefully, by the Word of God, the sinful nature and what it tries to do. And next week, we're going to arm you. We're going to prepare you. But again, the question is, what are you going to do with what you've heard? What kind of choice do you want to make? Do you want to put on the costume of the sinful nature? Or do you want to put on the clothes of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, as we take this moment to lift you up, we take this moment to take God's Word into our heart. Take your words of life, your words of safety and comfort, but also your words to prepare us and inform us. Because unfortunately, we are living in a world where Satan roams the earth and he's continually looking for someone to devour. Especially people who are seeking God or have an inkling of wanting to know who God is, and he will jump right in and try to throw casts of doubt and fear and disbelief. So, Lord, I pray that this morning the words that we've heard will help us make a choice. And it just starts with a simple choice. And that choice is, do we want to continue to be drawn in living the life of the sinful nature? Or do we want to be pulled out of that mire and mud and that messiness and be rescued by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Father, we have an opportunity to do that today. Know our hearts and help us not listen to the voices of doubt and the voices that are lies. That help us discern the voice of truth. The truth that comes from the mouth of your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. At this time, you have an opportunity to make a decision. And make a choice. And if you desire to do that today, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward and let us pray with you as you work through that decision. It's not something that you're meant to do alone, but we are here as a church to love on you and pray with you and help you figure this out. Because you're not supposed to figure it out on your own. That's why we come together as believers. That's why we come together as a church, to be there for one another. So, at this time, if you don't mind, guys, I'd like to join you in this.
Okay.
We hope today has been a great day for you. And again, I want to take a moment. And Megan and I thank you guys so much for the wonderful gifts that you've given us for pastor appreciation. And we appreciate you more than anything. It's our hope and prayer we continue to just build our relationship with you all and see how God's going to use things. It's exciting. One thing I want to mention before we dismiss and get ready to enjoy a good meal together today is that this coming Saturday is our Fall Fest. And it has sprung up. It is here on us. And we are continually preparing to receive many, many people that day. We have flyers that we're going to be giving out. If you see that beautiful young lady in the back there with the denim coat, that's my wife, Megan. She has flyers. If you want to, you've got some people you want to invite and be a part of our Fall Fest, we'd love that. We're also still looking for donations in all areas. Because, number one, you can never have enough candy, because that's how kids believe, okay? And then we are looking for, so there are some specific things that we do still need. I know we are in dire need of hot dog buns. We have actually yet to get hot dog buns because you want to wait until they're pretty fresh and so forth. But we would love if you would be willing to donate some hot dog buns. I'm sure there's some places that are going to be putting some on sale and things like that. So we would love for you to do that if you could. And we would like to try to have all donations, if possible, by Friday. So that we can make sure we have everything in place and not making sure that everything's good to go on our end. All we have to do is just shuffle. We're not having to run to stores on Saturday trying to get stuff. So if we can have all donations by Friday, we would greatly appreciate that. Especially hot dog buns. We really need those. And they still wouldn't mind a few more hot dogs. We were graciously given a donation for hot dogs, but we could still use some more as we head into that. And then also, we are continuing to do multiple different things with the Fall Fest. We're going to have two inflatables, one for younger kids that are more preschool and under age, and we're going to have a big 3-in-1 inflatable combo for ages 7 and up after that. And so lots of different activities we're doing. So during the potluck today, if you have any questions or you want to be involved, not only in donations, but we need people who are willing to be here that day and help us run the activities, run the games, and so forth. We could use as many volunteers as possible. And also want to say that if you do plan on doing that, we'd like everybody to be here by 1 p.m. that Saturday, if possible. Okay, that way we're not rushing to figure out things. We can tell you what we're going to do. Our hope is that if we have enough hands, we can switch out people. So they're not having to run the same thing for 4 hours, okay? We want to make sure and understand that. So if you have time and your availability to help us that weekend, we would greatly appreciate it. And here's why we need this. We have the community, an opportunity for the community to come see us. We have an opportunity to love on the people of our community through this effort and this opportunity. In fact, it's really part of our hashtag Love On initiative, if you want to think about it, that from that perspective. So we would really love to have you if you could really come out. You can see me. You can see Megan. There she is. And you can also see Diane. If you know Miss Diane Matthews, you can see Larry and Tammy Powers as well, or Regina McGill also. And we'll be happy to fill in some gaps for you if you have questions or anything like that. Just come and see us in that regard. So, and I think that is really all I have, unless there's any other announcement that needs to be made. Okay. One final thing that I've been asked to announce is right now we have some of our ladies are already setting up, getting everything ready for you to enjoy this wonderful meal. They are asking that if anyone can please stay behind and help clean up afterwards so that our setup people don't have to clean, that would be greatly appreciated. You can see Miss Sandy Freeman or Miss Sue Wright, and they will be happy to tell you what is needed for those areas, okay? So just check with them, and then we'll make sure we'll say something at the end of the potluck as well. So that if you can help us out with cleaning up, more hands make light work. Okay, so if you can help out with that, that'll be greatly appreciated. And then please, as usual, after I pray, please let people like Mr. Vernon and anyone that's in their 80s and above to let them go first, and then we'll let everyone else go at that point. So, are we ready? Yes? Okay. All right, let me have a prayer for the food, and we can go ahead and get started, guys. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for this day, and just thanks for this opportunity to be in your house today. Father, I pray that this has been not only just these walls, but just these people as well as your house. And Father, I pray that you would just bless our time together now as we get ready to enjoy a wonderful meal that many have brought together, several different dishes and lots of different things, Lord. So I pray, God, that you would just bless our time together, bless the food, may it strengthen us so that we can serve you and serve the ones we love around us. And again, God, thank you for every blessing you give us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.